Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? I'm just kind of walking down the aisle here a little bit just to make you nervous. Is that working? No, for most of you, don't care, you know. But anyway, we're going to look at a very interesting parable, the parable of the sower today. If you want to go ahead and turn in your copy of God's Word to Matthew 13, we're going to kind of skip around a little bit because Jesus says some things, not that they're not important, but it doesn't fit with the parable. We're kind of staying focused on the parable because there's about five messages in here, and I want to try and turn two into one if that works for you. Anyway, but in Matthew 13, give you a chance to find that, we have Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. And as you find that, if you are able, in honor of reading God's Word, would you stand with me as we take a look at this text this morning, Matthew 13. We're going to just first look at the first few verses, and then we'll come back and look at the others here in a little bit. He says, in verse 1, he says, That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and a large crowd gathered to him. And he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up, and others fell on rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, but because they had no depth of soil, when the sun had risen and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out, and others fell on the good soil and yielded crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of our Savior as he speaks to us today, as he reminds us of the importance of being willing to be sowers of your word. But Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us through this time, that you would use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word to your people today, that you might be exalted and lifted up through it. We just thank you for this opportunity we have and pray your blessings upon us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we look at this, this is not a guide on how to do agriculture, as you might notice. This is a different way they often used in that day as they would plant crops. They didn't know a lot of the things that we know today about how to properly, you know, plow and till and get the ground ready. They would just often just throw the seed out and whatever happened, happened. And that's what you hoped. And that's what Jesus is describing here is a gentleman who has kind of some seed and he's out sowing the seed. And, you know, sometimes the seed falls on some not so good places and sometimes it falls on some good places. But he uses this parable to describe to us what it means to be followers of Christ. And also that responsibility of the sower is to sow, isn't it? If he doesn't sow seed, what happens? Nothing. If he doesn't do his job, nothing happens. You say, well, but he's not doing it right. He's not putting it where it needs to be. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. That's not really the responsibility of the sower as we look in this text. The responsibility of the sower in the parable is to simply sow the seed. Where it lands and what happens to it, someone else takes care of that. Our job as followers of Jesus Christ is to share the word of God, share his love, to give opportunity to demonstrate his goodness and his kindness so that others might see, and we hope as they see, they will respond to the goodness of God. But sometimes, you know, no matter how hard you try, no matter how culturally sensitive you are, it doesn't work. Some people refuse to respond in a positive way. They choose to reject the good news of Jesus Christ and continue in their own path. And that choice is hard for us to take, and sometimes we take that as a personal rejection because, you know, how many of you in this room like being rejected? Anybody? Why are no hands going up? Because we don't like that. We like people to accept what we have to say, to respond positively to what we're doing. Otherwise, what's the point of doing what we feel we're led to do? And so in this we see as Jesus is telling us about this sower and all that he does, he's trying to remind us that our responsibility is to sow the seed and then let God do what he does. I can remember many years ago, my pastor shared this with us, and I was probably the age of that I remember. The first time I remembered, I think I was in grade school, probably about fourth grade, fifth grade, and he shared this parable and it made no sense to me. And so I asked him about it because I was just kind of that way and had that kind of relationship with Preacher Frank. And I said, Preacher Frank, what's going on here? What are you trying to tell us? He said, well, buddy, let me talk to you here a little bit later. So we met that next day, you know, after school. I came by and we talked for a little bit. Mom took me by there and I talked with him and he kind of shared with me in depth what this meant. And it was a very valuable time, but something I never forget as he kind of laid it out and the rest of it and what it was talking about and my responsibility. And so some of that's going to come out today. You'll just kind of figure it out as I share it. But let me understand. I want you to understand this one point. The primary responsibility we have as followers of Jesus Christ is to share the good news. Did you catch that? We are responsible to share it with anyone that God brings our way. as we have opportunity, as we feel led and prompted. And you know, you've been in those situations where you kind of sense that prompting from the Spirit that you need to share something. It may not be a full-blown 20-minute gospel presentation. It may just be simply something as simple as, you know, sorry you're going through that. Can I pray with you? Or say, you know, I didn't know if you knew this today, but God really loves you and cares for you. And he can help you walk through this, whatever. And I mean, there's a variety of ways of doing it. A lot of times we think it has to be a certain way to be effective. But oftentimes those seeds that we plant, you know, it's not the effectiveness of how we share it that makes the difference. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of that person that makes the difference when his word of God, when the word of God and his goodness is shared. You understand that? Who leads us to the throne of grace? Who leads us to the cross? Who does that? The Holy Spirit. That's whose job it is. He does that for us, and he does that for others as we speak. Our responsibility is to share and be faithful in that. And just like the sower who is sowing and sharing, some good things happen and some not so good things happen. Now, I can remember years ago when I was in school, there was a friend of mine. We were pretty close, and we were in Boy Scouts together. We were in school together. We did a lot of things together, spent each night at each other's houses. You know, we just had a lot of fun together, but he was not a believer, and I shared with him, and he told me that he went to church, and he didn't need to hear any more of that, basically, is what he said. And finally, he told me, would you please quit telling me about this? I'm tired of hearing about it. So I quit, you know, because that's what you do, because, you know, we were friends, and I kind of quit, and kind of left it alone, and that was in middle school, the last time I talked to him about that. Get into high school, we're getting ready to be seniors, and we're excited, we're going to graduate together, and he starts dating a girl that's a friend of mine who goes to a little Baptist church out in the country, and lo and behold, he listens to her. Of course, she is prettier than I am, you know, has a ways of communicating that he appreciates, and he becomes a follower of Christ. And not does he just become a follower of Christ, he's baptized in this little church, and it was a really big deal in his family because when he became a follower of Christ, there was some anger, literally, from his parents, especially his mother, who was not happy with him because he had, in a sense, she thought, forsaken their family tradition and the faith that they had followed for generations and instead of becoming a Baptist. And not only become a Baptist, he became a Baptist pastor. And he pastors a church over in Independence, Missouri. He's been there for about 8 or 9 years, and we still communicate back and forth. But it's interesting to see how God... But that all happened not because of what I did. That all happened because of what the Holy Spirit did. Did you catch that? And how I was faithful, did my part. That's okay. Didn't work out the way I wanted it to. But Julie, his wife, was faithful, and God blessed that, and God used that, and that's how he became a follower of Christ, and then began to be discipled through others, and began to grow in his walk, and now is serving and leading others to Christ as well. And that's the way it works in following our Lord. We may not see what we want to see, but we are just simply told to be faithful. And sometimes we may get a response that is a little bit, how can I say this, vicious, angry. Some people don't want to hear what you have to say when it comes to Jesus. Because when accepting Christ, coming to know what Jesus is, the standard that God sets for us, the purpose and plan that he has for our life, doesn't fit in well with a lot of our egos. Because the first part of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is admitting what? You are a sinner. You are wrong. How many of you like being told you're wrong? Once again, no hands went up, Dave. I don't get that. I hate being wrong. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you how much I hate being wrong. And that's what it tells us. The gospel literally tells us, you are wrong. Your way does not work. You cannot make it to God in your own strength and own power. It is only by what Christ has accomplished for you at the cross that you have any hope. God made a way for you and I. And that's the heart of the gospel. So people don't always respond to that message in a way that they have. Let's take a look at the second half of that passage. I won't make you stand, but I want to read the second part of the text where Jesus, you know, he tells this parable and the disciples are like, you know, they're kind of doing this number, which some of us do. They're not quite, what is he saying? This is all nice. But he goes and Jesus is great. He explains it. And if you look down in verse, let's go on down here. It's all the way down in verses 18 and following. Just sit there and check your copy of God's word. And he says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word, the kingdom of God does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown simply beside the road. Then the one in whom the seed was sown in the rocky place says, this is the man who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself. It is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he does what? He falls away. And the one in whom the seed was sown among the thorns He's the one who hears the word and worries about the deceitfulness and wealth and chokes out the word and becomes unfruitful. But then listen to this. And the one on whom the seed is sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What is responsible for the growth of the seed? This is my one agricultural lesson for today, all right? And I know I am not qualified to teach much. I've already explained to you how limited my agricultural abilities are, but I do know some farmers, and they tell me I'm right in this, okay? What was it? Not the sower's faithfulness, but what causes it to grow?
Water and sunshine.
Water and sunshine and the soil, right? Some of it's on rocky ground. Now, you know, you've seen that ground, you put stuff, you could plant, you could do all you wanted, and nothing's going to grow there except maybe some weeds, because weeds will grow anywhere, right? Always where we don't want them. So it's the quality of the soil that determines the growth. You and I have no idea, as we share the Word of God, what the quality of the soil, the spiritual soil in the life of the person with whom we share is, how they're going to receive it. We don't know. That's not our job to determine that. Our job is to be faithful and to sow. To sow the word and then see what God does. Because the one that grants the growth, the one that brings the change, the one that transforms the life is God, not us. There is nothing that I have ever done in my 30 plus years of ministry that has changed the life of one single person apart from the work of the Spirit of God. But I have seen many people's lives changed and transformed in ways that I cannot explain. And it's not because of me, it's not because of what I know, it's not because of my great seminary education and expertise, it's all because of the Word of God and the power and work of the Holy Spirit. God does it all, folks. He does every bit of it. That's the joy of this, that's the beauty. Our job is to be faithful, His job is to do what He does. And the good soil is the soil that produces fruit. How do you know the soil, the quality of the soil is good? Look at the life. You've seen that. An example I just gave you of a friend that all I did was share and he rebuffed me. And then somebody prettier came along, she shared and the Holy Spirit used it, right? And it wasn't just because of Julie's appearance that he was changed. It was because of the work of the Holy Spirit in his life that he was already at work in his life. And Jeff didn't even know it. And it's the Holy Spirit that accomplishes all of those things. And he does that in your life and my life. He changes us. He molds us. He moves us on the path that he has for us. And you've seen it in your life where there's times in your life that you sense you are trusting God and following God, and God is very able to do amazing things in your life, and things just seem to happen. And you're like, how did that happen? And there's sometimes in life, let's be honest, when you feel like you're doing everything you could do, you do the same thing you did, you're being faithful, you're doing it all, and it's like beating your head against the wall, right? Anybody ever been there? Okay, Joe has. I think I saw one other hand. I don't know. I'm not going to do that. I see a hand there. We're going to do that. But you know what I'm saying? It's sometimes hard. But once again, it's all about what God accomplishes. It's not about what I accomplish. It's not about what I bring to the table. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's not about our great methods, methodologies, and our wisdom and intellect. Oh, there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's not about that. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is able to do things that we cannot do. He is able to change lives. He is able to reach into a life that seems hopeless, that seems in despair, that seems in disarray, that has no direction, and transform it and put it on the path that he has for it. And he can do that because he is God. The Holy Spirit is not like, you know, there's God the Father, God the Son, and then the Holy Spirit over here, okay? That's not the way it works. That's the way we as Baptists sometimes interpret it. Not personally, we don't say that, but we kind of look at it that way. The Holy Spirit is every bit as much God as the Father and the Son. And how that Trinity, we're not going to get into the Trinity this morning because we don't need our heads to go, whatever. But understand that He is at work in your life and my life. And He is going before us. And the Scripture talks about how the Spirit prays for us with yearnings too deep for words. We can't even communicate as He prays. He is petitioning for us even in this moment. He is praying for us. He is pouring his going to the Father on our behalf. And he desires to do a work in your life and my life, in the lives of those around us. But what he asks us to do is simply trust him, to be faithful, to do what he's asked us to do, to sow those seeds and allow God to use us. And then we can see what God is able to accomplish. Because we have the different types of soil there. We have the rocky soil and didn't work out so well for them. They hear it and they kind of like, yeah, I don't really want it. And then we have the soil. It's got a little bit of that there. And they hear it and they're like, oh, yeah, this is it. But difficulties come, problems come, pain comes. And they're like, well, I don't need this anymore. It's not working for me. You ever seen that? You ever seen someone that's so excited, so enthused about following the Lord, they're really on fire, and then they disappear? You wonder, why is that? What is wrong? What, did we do something wrong? Not necessarily, but it just they weren't ready to respond. Their spirit was not tendered to the work of the Spirit in their life. They refused to listen. They didn't let it sink in. Because one of the things God does not promise you if he comes in your life is that everything is going to go hunky-dory the way you want it to be. Okay? It doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy. It doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. It doesn't mean you're not going to have any difficulties. Everything's going to be perfect if you just follow Jesus. That's not what our Lord says. And that's not the promise of Scripture. What it does say is that he will be with us no matter what we face. He will walk with us no matter what path we go down. And when difficulties and troubles come, because that's really part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That doesn't get preached in some churches. Now, I could preach a sermon on it, but we don't have time for that because we're getting near the time I need to quit anyway, right? But if you follow Jesus, you will have trouble. You will. You will have difficulties. People will not understand what you are doing. Some people will go as far as to try and destroy and stop what you're doing because they think you're either crazy or you're leading people on a misguided path. And what are you and I supposed to do when people come at us that way? We get our signs out, right? We protest them, right? We form a boycott. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, no, we just keep going. We keep sowing the seed. We keep working and we love them in Jesus' name. Say, I love you. Sorry, you don't like me. Don't worry about it. And just keep going on. Because the quality of their walk, of a person's walk, is determined by the quality of the soil that they have in their life, the spiritual receptivity they have. Are they ready for it? And only the Holy Spirit can make the ground ready. Now, how many of you have ever planted a garden? There we go. I've killed more plants than you've probably planted, but anyway, that's all I'm good at for, really. But you know that oftentimes, we got pretty good soil in this part of the country, you have to do what before you plant the seed? You have to till it, right? You know, what was that? Well, that comes, yeah. But first you got to get the ground ready, don't you? You don't just throw it, you know, not like the sower in the parable here. He just threw it out and whatever happened, happened. But generally when you're planting seed, you till, you plow, you know, and that's what they called it where we were out, and they did a lot of farming there. They would go out and have plowing season and they'd get everything going, and that was what you do. You get the ground ready, then you sow the seed, then you try to water it unless it's a large place, but you try and get it ready. You make sure that it has plenty of water, that it has, and some of you may get some of those, you know, there's different things you can help with the ground to nourish the ground. There's things you can buy that help that. And then, of course, you have to weed it, right? How many of you love that? How many of you love weeding gardens? Anybody? Just this one little girl right here. I want you to know that if you need your garden weeded right there, she's ready to go get those weeds for you. You are the only person to ever do that. I tell you, I have weeded enough gardens that if I never see another weed, I'll be happy. But, you know, that's part of it, isn't it? Why we do that to protect the plants. We're doing, those things are important. The same is true in our walk with our Savior. All right? As the seed and the Word of God is poured into our life, we have to cultivate it. We have to allow it to plow, allow it to do some work in life. We have to let it kind of sit in us sometimes and then allow it to sift in our lives. And it will alter the course of our life at many times, because sometimes we're on a path that we think is all right, but God has a different path for us. Anybody ever been there? God's direction is different than the one that you and I might take. And as he's trying to lead us in that path, we don't want to hear him, but he's trying to say, no, we need to go this way, folks. We need to do this. We need to let this go, okay? Whatever this is, you figure that out. I'm not going to tell you what that is. It's your call. You and the Holy Spirit will work on that, okay? And we need to move in this direction. I want you to focus on what I have for you and my plan for you, and we'll just go this route. And then I'll work on the soil of your soul. I'll help you to grow and become the man or woman of God that I've created you to become so that you can bear fruit and so prove, as it says here, to be my disciple. That's what it's all about. It's all about the work of God in us. God is the one that does the work. All we do is sow the seed. God does the work. And in this, when you see that, what happens, and you've seen this sometimes where you've been able to, you led someone to Christ or you shared the word with someone and you saw them come to Christ, and then you saw what God did with their life, and it was amazing. How many of you experienced that? I hope I see a few hands. That's awesome, isn't it? That's amazing. It's not about what we did. It's not about our power and ability. It's not about us. But we were faithful and God blessed it. And God did it. And who gets the credit for it? God does. He did it. Why not? I mean, do you like to have someone else to get the credit for the work you did? Anybody like that? No. Any work that God does, God deserves the credit, praise, and glory for it because he's the one that accomplished it. He's the one that does it. And we see here in the text this idea of this explosion of goodness and fruit in the life of this person because they have responded to the word and allowed the word of God to transform their life. And that's what it's all about in being a follower of Christ, isn't it? We like to see that. And our hope is for us and those that have invested in us, the people that spent that time with you and shared the word of God with you, whether it was in an adult Sunday school class or maybe some of you have been here long enough, you were in a children's class. You know, anybody ever taught children in Sunday school? I know several of you have. Can it be a challenge some mornings? Because they, you know, I love that. Everybody sits still. How often does that happen? Okay, not often. But you try, and you do everything you can, and you work hard, and you try to bring it in a way that they understand it and hear it. And sometimes you think, I am not doing anything right. And folks, you have no idea what God is doing with your faithfulness. That's what I want to encourage you with this morning. Because God's the one doing the work on the life of that child that you're working with. And you have no idea how he's going to work in and through that life and the fruit that that's going to bear and how that's going to change and how that's going to transform that life. And not just their life. You realize that children grow up to be adults. Did you know that? Anybody know that? It does happen eventually. For those with small children, I'm giving you hope here. They grow up to be adults. And one day as adults, oftentimes they meet someone that they like a lot and then they become a parent. And you know what? They have children, which you get to call what? And I've been told that's a whole lot better than kids. But by many of you who've had that experience. And as you do that, you begin to see the fruit in their life and that they begin to experience some of the same things you experienced. I've known that as a parent because, you know, my parents used to tell me all these things that my wife and I were going to experience with kids. And they're like, yeah, whatever. That's not going to happen to us. But yeah, I did. Some of the same things. Not that if they're bad, some's good, some bad. It's just life. It's okay. But the good thing about that is that you begin to see the fruit of that effort in your life. On a spiritual sense, the same is true. How many of you have spiritual grandchildren? You've shared disciples, and that person has led others to Christ. Isn't that exciting? To think that you made a difference in a life by simply sharing the good news of the Holy Spirit, changed them, and now they're changing someone else's life or others' lives. And it spirals on. You may have spiritual great-great-great-grandchildren not even know it. And that's cool. That's what it's about. It's because it's about not really so much about us. It's about what God is doing. Because who gets the glory for all that work that's done? God does. It's all about what he does. And he wants us to live lives that are fruitful, lives that demonstrate his goodness, lives that demonstrate his compassion and mercy. Because even when there are days that you feel like quitting and you feel like giving up and you get frustrated and you think, I can't do this one more day, realize that if you're faithful, God will bless it. It may not be in the way that you see it, and you may not see it really full blown, but you will see it. Because God is good. And God is always at work. He took one day of rest. You know that, don't you? Remember when that was? After creation, 6 days, he took a day of rest. I have never seen anywhere in Scripture where it says he's resting anymore. In fact, Jesus has a discussion with the Pharisees and Sadducees who're saying, this is the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to do any work. And he says, my father's at work, so I'm going to join him. The Father's at work. He has a purpose, a plan, a direction. He's trying to accomplish something in our lives and in this world. And he's at work doing that. And he allows us to have a part in it. I don't know about, does that excite anyone else? That you're a part of something global? And this is going on not just in, you know, Frederick, Maryland, or in Maryland, Delaware, as our executive director just shared with us in the video a little bit ago. This is going on all over the nation. In fact, all over the continent, all over the world it's going on. In places that you and I can only visit via, well, I guess we could fly in there if we had a lot of money. But a lot of times we'll just see pictures from there or video from there because we have no, you know, will to go to the southern part of Africa or the farthest, as far east as you can go into Eastern Europe, into Russia. I doubt that most of us will go there. But God is at work even there. Did you know that? Just as much as he's at work right here, he's at work there. And he's desiring to accomplish something to change the life, and you can have a part in it. I'm going to add something. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I don't often do that in messages, but I am today. Are you ready for it? We're winding down. I'm going to ask you to remember this. I want you to pray for City Light Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Okay? The City Light Church is a new church starting in Kansas City, right in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. And the reason it's close to my heart is because one of the pastors is a former student of mine. And if you'd have told me, gosh, let me get my dates right. That's been 23 years ago when he came to our youth group in Warrensburg, Missouri. He was a middle schooler. I almost killed him. You ever had one of those? He drove me nuts. You know what? Anyone know what ADHD is? That was about 1995. That was a long, did I do 23 years? That's about right. Okay, all right. Let me keep my story. All right. But his name is Eric, and you'll see him, but I just encourage you to pray for him. He's been with a church in another part of the country that's what they're called City Light, and they've started this church, and they're starting from ground zero. They're out doing whatever, and they've got a place, and they're working on getting leadership. But just pray for them. Not that Kansas City doesn't have some great churches. It does, but they need a church in this part of the city because this part of the city is pretty much morally bankrupt. And just pray for them. City Light Church. How hard is that to remember? I can remember that. So remember them. But I think of his life, and I think of how did that happen? Well, I know it wasn't me, because I just told you my response to Eric on multiple occasions. And my wife, if she weren't in the nursery, she could testify to this, because there were times I think she wanted to kill him too. But anyway, it's awesome to see what God has done in his life. It's amazing to see the transformation that has taken place, the way he has grown, just the what God has done. It just blows my mind. It's just what God does. It's not about us. It's about what God does. And many of you, if we go around this room this morning, many of us have stories like that. We've had people that we've encountered, people we've shared with, and we wondered if they'd ever amount to anything, and yet God is using them in a beautiful way and transforming their life. That's what it's about. That's why we invest in the young. That's why we invest in our children's ministry. That's why we're investing in campus life. That's why we're investing in a variety of ministries while we're partnering with our folks of the rest of our state convention to make a difference in the lives of others in collegiate ministry, whatever area of ministry we find ourselves, because we are wanting to see them have the same opportunity that you and I had to know Jesus and to experience him in his life and allow him to do the transforming work that only he can do. And as he transforms and changes them, we may get to see a portion of it. We may see none of it. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Because God's the one that does the work. And what does he ask us to do? Sow the seed. Just like the sower. Sow the seed. But what if it doesn't land on good soil? What if it lands here? What if it doesn't? What if I don't do it right? Sow the seed. Be faithful and let God take care of the rest. Because who's going to change a life anyway? That's right. The Father changes the life. I don't change a single life. But God changes millions, if not billions, of lives across the globe. And his desire begins and starts with you and me today. Maybe altering our perspective a little bit and realizing that our lives are about a whole lot more than just going to work and taking care of our family. Not those are bad things, but it's more than that. And showing up on church on Sunday morning to make the pastor happy. That, I'm glad you're here. That makes me happy. But it's not about showing up to make me happy. I hope it's more about that than more about it than that to you, isn't it? I hope. I hope your life is about more than that. I hope your life is about, God, what can you do with me today? What can you do with me this week? That's a dangerous prayer to ask, but it will radically change your life and put you on a course and a journey with him that is unmatched by anything this world has to offer. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of our Savior as he speaks to us and through us. And I pray today as we enter this time, if there is one here today that has not experienced the goodness of your salvation, I pray that today would be the day that that man, woman, boy, or girl experiences that for the first time. Father, I pray you will raise up in us a desire to follow you and to be faithful, to communicate your goodness as we have opportunity, to share with others your love in a variety of ways, that whatever way you present to us, and to let them know of the goodness of Jesus Christ and the mercy that he offers, so that they might experience that mercy as well. Thank you, Father, for this time we have. Use this time in whatever way you desire, for you are Lord over all of it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.